Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATACP. Live.
Live. Yeah, that's what they tell me. They tell me it's real live.
You sound like James Brown. You know, that's how,
That is how you do a no. Okay, I'm going to.
That was my soft no. I could have given you the hard no, but I gave you the soft no. See? Because I
well,
can't.
See, well, I'm glad you do. Thank God for care.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to play you a little excerpt from the show. It was Marquez the Greatest. That's his name.
Okay.
The guy is extremely funny. I'm going to play, I guess 7 minutes, I'm going to cut it off. Play a little bit of what he had to say. And I want to get your opinion on this comedian. Marquez
okay.
the Greatest.
Okay.
In case we have any police officers in here, fuck you. I just... I'm going to say it now while I got witnesses. You know what I mean? Because when they pull me over, I'm just like you, cooperative. And see, white folks, y'all will never really know why we view it that way. Because perspectives is just different. It's just a little cultural thing. Like, for instance, whenever y'all see the police, you see friend. Protector. You know what everybody else who ain't white see? You motherfucking murderer! Whew, man. My white partner, y'all get to talk to the police some of the coolest ways ever. Y'all can just cuss, just write the damn ticket. Snatch it, and speed the fuck off again. Now, Jimmy, now, I mean, you know what we got to do when motherfuckers ask us for our license registration? We got to narrate our movies. I'm going to reach into the glove compartment. And I'm going to get my license and registration. And then that siren is a motherfucker, man, because y'all get a whole siren. Y'all never know because it's just different shit. You know what I mean? Y'all should be, wee, 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 wee. Our shit, boop, 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 boop. Boop, 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 wee, boop, boop. You know, nigger, nigger. That's really what that is. You in front of my mama house. I see the lights. Turn the siren on. Hey, tell the truth, ain't that siren like kryptonite? Boop, boop. Oh, shit. Fuck it, just check me from here, officer. Shit, you ain't gonna do nothing but put me back down here. Shit. But shit, man, being a police officer is a great job, ain't it? If you a criminal, shit. Because come on, you can kill motherfuckers, get away with it? Come on, man. The last big one to me was up in New York. I still trip off that, because they shot this cat 41 times. That means bullets. You know that? 41 times, and you know they had to reload. What type of shit do you do? Pop, 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 freeze, pop, 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 pop. LAPD, whoo, these motherfuckers shoot first, ask questions later. Then, pow, where you going? Ah, shit, to the store, motherfucker. Damn, nigga, I just wanted a pack of cigarettes. I got family members that's LAPD, you know what I mean? And they cool off duty, you know. But like my cousin, man, he can't never leave the job at the office. You know a motherfucker like that? I mean, he gonna tell me, hey, I'm gonna have to take you in for possession of narcotics. I said, nigga, you gave me the weed. Nigga, it's Saturday, you off, motherfucker. Because the thing, man, I trip off of is, like, the whole justice system. Like, the idea of it is hell of a... You know what I mean? It's right on point. The idea. But people always get in the way and fuck it up. You know what I mean? Because dig this. When the drafters of the Declaration of Independence declared the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they wasn't talking about me. Because, ladies, 1857 in the Dred Scott case, the United States Supreme Court stated flat out that the Constitution simply did not apply to niggas. So, I ask you, since I'm not able to partake of any of the benefits, should I go to jail for selling dope? I just asked that question because, you know, a nigga go to court tomorrow. I was working on original defense, but look like I got to take the deal, huh? I think it's time for a poem. This one is called Dick Caught in Zipper. Ouch! Thank you. Thank you very much. Shakespeare, ladies and gentlemen, was my influence. But you do, man. You got to enjoy your life. We know this, you know. Because anything can kill you. That's what you mean. Because a plane crash, you know. Planes crash so much, I don't even listen to the stewardess no more. Especially when they use that speech. In case of an emergency, you can use your seat cushion as a flotation device. I'm like, bitch, stop lying. I watch the news, and I ain't never seen nail cushion floating in the water. I mean, that's real, ain't it, dog? You seen the debris. You ever seen a cushion floating in the water? Has anyone ever seen one motherfucker survive? Talking about, whoo, good thing I used my seat cushion as a flotation device. I was almost dead, nigga, you know? Don't shit on a plane float. You don't see a pack of peanuts, pretzels, nothing. They show you a shot of the water, it's clear blue. But then, of course, they want you to breathe through this oxygen mask in case of a loss of cabin pressure. Now, come on. Why would I want to die with a clear head? I want oxygen asphyxiation. I want to black the fuck out, then die. That's what I want. I don't be all coherent. Ain't shit I can do but observe my death. Fuck that. But then, of course, the waitress, fuck it, stewardess, waitress, same thing. You just can't run out on her, that's all. She wants you to spend your last few moments uncomfortable, though. She wants you to put your seat back up, put your tray table away, put your head down with your knees. Bitch, we dying. Crunch ain't gonna break the fall. I'm dying comfortable. I'm gonna climb my chair and put my table down because I want you to bring me a drink. Whole can, bitch, a whole can. I'll spend $1,000 on the ticket. I'm gonna give you a half a cup of juice. You better bring me the bar. Fuck it, we crash and I'm walking to first class. Y'all give me some champagne in the
Yo, Donna.
Yeah.
Marquez the greatest. He's stupid.
Okay, he's silly.
He is stupid. He killed me when he talked about LAPD. They shoot and ask questions later.
Later.
Pops, where you going? I'm going to the store. He killed me on that. I was like, that dude, he wore me out the whole. I had like, I guess, 2 15-minute sets of his. And he went off the whole time.
Oh,
he had me
wrote.
That dude's crazy.
I like his whole take on the anything you have to do on the flight to any place. It is like riding to hell every time you get on the plane.
Yeah.
And you're gonna be thirsty when you get there.
I want the whole can too. I'm walking in first class. We died. I want some champagne.
Seriously. Oh my gosh,
that's
funny.
He's stupid. And I hope we get together so you can do your little stand up thing.
Oh, okay.
Remember we talked about that?
We've talked about that, and I'm prepared.
Yeah, we need to write you some material.
And man, I could write my own. I'm telling you, my life is a comedy store.
Well, true. Well, then, if you do that, I need to hear it now.
Of course you do.
You know, if you make me laugh, then I'm good.
Well, so far so good, right?
Okay. Yeah, true. With your silly post comments on Facebook, that is.
That doesn't count for my real funny.
Yeah, I know, but still. Some of them are hilarious where I go, wow. When I got to reread it out loud, that means it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Ah, that's how it works. Okay.
Yeah, when you got to double take and then reread it out loud, and you the only bitch in the room, you read it to yourself. That's actually funny. That shows that you're trying to get a clear understanding of what the person's view was.
Oh,
by rereading.
Okay.
To yourself.
Okay. Yeah. That's that's a little scary, but I understand. Sometimes, you know, you have to read it out loud.
Sometimes, we all got our ways.
Yeah, I know. And sometimes you got to deal with people in the way they know how to read. I mean, sometimes you have to read it out loud to comprehend.
Yeah, to re-comprehend. You know, maybe it wasn't as funny when they were silent. I like my jokes a cappella anyway.
Okay. So. It's a spoken word.
Yeah, really. There's a rhythmic tone to it.
I understand. Your own. You want to hear your own voice. Okay. You want to hear
yeah,
your own
really.
Voice.
To see if I can make it funny. To myself. But how you been, Donna? How have you been since I hadn't talked to you? How was your Christmas? And did you do anything special? Oh, and did you have, remember when we did the show, I was looking back in the archives. We're trying to find a date for CJ and DJ. Yeah. Have you found anybody, too?
Let's just say I am recruiting. How's that? Is that reasonable?
Okay. Like I said, you made me laugh out loud, so you're pretty good. That's not what recruiting means.
I want to be like the Army. I'm just looking for a few good men. I'm not looking for all of them.
And then you're willing to go out of town and try to recruit them, too.
I'm willing. And then the ones that come through, you know, there is a basic training. So we do have to make sure that they can hold up
pass
through
the physical. I understand what you say. Oh, Lord. Because we did run around in underwear during the when they did the testing and all that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to need a second in command, so that's where CJ comes in. I can't test them all. Somebody got to help me.
I see. I can feel her laughing over there and coughing at the same time. As the laugh is coming out.
You know, well, I think the first test is we're going to have them standing on top of something, jumping off. We're going to blindfold them and just, we're going to push them off something. It's not going to be high, but, you know, it'll be high enough that they know they can't touch the ground when they stick their foot down. But we blindfold them. We tell them, you know, there's a big, something big and soft for them to land on. And then we push them. And the ones that scream, we're not keeping.
I thought y'all was looking at the gravity test.
And well, that's part of it because we have to make sure they don't pee and they fall.
You sound like my ex-manager when I used to work at Ponderosa Steakhouse. He hired all women on the 4-point test, and I'm like, because you know there's a lot of good-looking women out there. And I'm like, why? We were getting around to it, talking about, well, y'all should hire some sexy girls up here, because they were like, I'm only high school or first year of college, right? So I'm like, how y'all go about hiring these girls? And they'd be like, we do the 4-point test. I'm like, what is the 4-point test? And they said they get the girl in the office, ask her a few questions like, you know, what's her name and what kind of hours she can work, and then have her stand against the wall with two elbows on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And if all 4 points touch the wall, that's elbows and girls.
Yeah.
And they get hired. That's the 4 point.
Hired. There you go. That's the point.
I was like, no wonder it's always cold in here.
Yeah, and on top of that, that's why they have so many harassment suits.
Well, nobody, you know, they said nobody didn't know, but I'm sure they were joking on that shit.
Are you serious? You think women don't know? You think they really don't know?
I'm sure they were joking on that part.
Oh,
I'm sure
yeah.
They didn't do it. I'm sure they didn't do it.
Okay, let's all wink together. Are you doing
it? Sure
I'm winking. Are you doing it?
I'm sure they didn't put. I'm sure they didn't put no female against no wall testing them that way. But
oh my God!
I'm sure they thought about the wall.
Oh,
in their mind.
Oh, so how was Christmas for you?
It was cool. I just chilled out. Anytime I don't have to go to work is a great day.
It's Christmas for you every time you don't go to work, huh?
Every time I don't go to work. I mean, it's Somebody asked me how was Christmas, one of my customers. I said, I wasn't here. That should have explained it.
Merry Christmas.
I wasn't here. These days are precious. And then, you know, what I consider rich when I don't have to go to work and still can spend some money. That's what I consider rich. And it ain't got no number value on it at all. But I guess it might mean I need to have a lot.
But you might want to consider that. Yeah, dude.
I need to have a lot or be retired or something. But I just, you know, I don't want to work. I mean, I got to the point now. I've been working all my life. I don't want to work right now. I want to chill out and do some stuff I want to do, you know, stuff that I like doing.
Well, that's the whole point to this stage we're in life. We've got more stuff that we've done that's behind us than we do in front of us. So you should be headed towards doing things you want to do as opposed to the things you had to do. You've had your learning years and your earning years. This is the time to relax. You've done all that other stuff.
Yeah, well, you tell that to the post office I work for.
Okay, tell that to them. I had to write it. I'll send you a note.
I'm glad you. And I hope it's signed my mother.
I can.
My
I
play
can
mother. My play mother. Who's
yeah, call
me.
They're more than welcome to call me, and I'll tell them.
I am at that point now where I get up and go, man, it's getting worse and worse. I really don't feel it.
Wow. Well, let me tell you.
I never felt this way to the last couple of years, though. So I guess it's kicking in at the right time.
I guess so. It's telling you it's time to start pulling it back.
Well,
I don't have that problem. I love going to work.
You love your job.
I do.
Yeah, well, just that would have helped if I did love my job.
Okay, yeah, yeah, you're right. It helps if you love your job.
Yeah, that helps.
Spinning your wheels, yeah.
Yeah.
Spinning wheels, no sense.
Right now, I'm down to rims.
Ouch. That sounds painful. Okay.
I'm down to the rims. I ain't spinning just tires no more.
You don't want to do this. It's time to walk away. It's time to start figuring out a way to walk away. And I ain't trying to win the lotto.
But I guess, I mean, you know, winning the lotto would help. And then after I heard, what that guy, they won like $250 million and only got $60 million.
Yeah.
My luck, I probably win 12 and only get like, what, one?
Wow, you act like you already have one that you can just say, okay, it doesn't matter. It's money you don't have. So
yeah, I know.
No matter what.
But I can't retire on $1 million.
Well, you know what? You actually could if you live the exact same lifestyle you're living.
Okay. Like I said, you didn't hear me very well.
Go out and buy a Maybach and, you know, trying to move into, you know, one of these houses that was foreclosed on by some of these big time people who thought they had a lot of money. That's unrealistic.
Yeah, I agree with you. On $1 million, I would still have to keep working. You trying to say if I live the same lifestyle? No. If I want some money, I want to live a higher lifestyle. I mean that would be the purpose of me enjoying it.
I bet you could still enjoy it.
I guess I could.
I think you could try. Could you try? I mean, give it a shot, man.
First, I
got
to win $1 million, DJ. First, I got to win $1 million.
That's true.
Okay.
Right, right.
We were talking about hope and luck and dreams.
Yeah, we're not going to set up anything that's not going to happen. So I'm going to fall back on that one.
Yeah, please. Because you sound like my boy Phil, who one time me and my cousin Manuel, you remember Manuel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Me and him was talking about, we looked on the board, you know, on the lotto board, billboard, as we were driving up to Atlanta on the interstate. And it was like, the money was up to like $4 million. And we had said, I said, are you going to play the lotto? He said, $4 million ain't enough, man. I said, yeah, you're right. And Phil was in the back seat, said, I don't understand why y'all so uppity, but you ain't got nothing. Come about $4 million ain't. Y'all already make me backhand y'all.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord. So I was dying on that one myself.
Yeah.
We have a caller, DJ.
Oh, we have a caller?
Oh, yeah. Praise God. it's 310, area code 310. I'm punching you in. You can Z talk. This is ATAZP.
This is none other than the man himself, Mr. Ryan Evans.
Now, that's what we were waiting on. How are you doing?
I thought somebody's going to call me. I'm just here, man. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great.
Wonderful.
And Ryan, this is my co-host, DJ.
Hi, Ryan. How are you tonight?
I'm very good, DJ. How are you? You have a
I'm nice fabulous.
Voice, DJ.
That is correct. That is what I do. I'm here to counteract anything that Taz does.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, DJ.
You're welcome, love.
DJ put you all the way up under the bus right there.
Yeah, I know. And I feel the scars.
Good. Okay, but see, then I speak to you and I soothe you, so it's okay.
I was soothed. I was very soothed.
She said soothed. How come I don't feel like that? Anyway, I don't feel like that. Ryan, describe to the people that's listening to the show exactly what you do.
Well, I got kicked out of my last job. I was a male exotic dancer. No, I was just playing.
No.
Pictures.
We're going to need pictures to prove it.
I tell jokes for a living. I travel the country making people laugh here and there. I do a little bit of acting, very little as of now, but we're hoping to change that in the new year. And I'm also a comedic writer. So that's what I do.
And you've been on many shows. I'm going to let you tell it because I looked it up. I'm just going to let you tell it.
No,
you've been on a few shows.
Yeah.
I really did.
It's all good. I forget them so many times, too. It ain't number two little credits. I've been on Who's Got Jokes? Bill Bellamy's Who's Got Jokes. I used to air that on TV1. And I've also been a feature comic on The Monique Show, which actually just aired a couple of days ago, the episode I did. I hear it did. I didn't get a chance to see it. But, yeah, aired a couple of days ago. Those are my two claims to fame.
And I also seen a YouTube video of two girls in one cup. What the hell? Look, I told DJ about it. I didn't tell DJ. I told one of my sisters in California about it. I said, I'm up here looking at this video of people's reactions. What the hell is it? That's why I'm like, I'm trying to find
out. I want to tell you what it is.
Don't tell me. I got to look it up.
Yeah, when you find it, you're going to be mad. Like, why he didn't just tell me? Because I know I'm watched it. Get yourself ready, but record yourself. Cause that's what happened. My brother, I came over his house Christmas Day. It was Christmas Day in L.A. It's
right.
So nasty. And he showed me the tape. He showed me the clip and filmed me. And it was just the most horrible thing I had ever seen in my life. It started off nice. Everything I said in that clip on YouTube with me was true.
Right.
It started off real nice, but it let you down at the end.
Uh-oh. I'm confused.
And I'm gonna have to look it up too. I'm gonna look it up. It's DJ is two girls, one cup. I gotta go.
I don't know if I want to know about this. Am I old enough to know about this?
I'm gonna go ahead. You, everybody grown. Everybody who's grown is grown enough to watch it. But you might not want to know about it. You might want to go ahead and let this be one of them unsolved mysteries right there.
You know what? I'm good with that. This and Bigfoot. I think I can go along and just let them pass.
Yeah. I saw Bigfoot too, you did. I ain't going to look for him.
Well, Ryan, I'd like to know exactly what are some of the things you talk about in your stand-up?
Me. Because I don't really want you to know. I mean, I talk about other things. I touch on other things, I should say. But I mainly talk about me and what I might be going through. or what I might feel the people need to hear. Because I feel like, you know, I've been blessed to be in front of people talking to them and they listening to me. The least I could do is have them leave with something. So a lot of times what's put on me is to talk about relationships because you see us not being together a lot of times lately. Everybody is quick to leave somebody. So I talk about
right.
the little small things that are universal in relationships that you can, even when they happen in the midst of your relationship, you'll begin to laugh at them rather than let that be the demise of it. So that's mainly what I like to talk about, relationships. And me.
Now, do you find that more comfortable talking about yourself since you know yourself so well? I mean, you know, is that more comfortable to talk about actually when you get out in front of an audience?
Yeah.
More
I
easier?
Mean, mainly because of... Yeah, it's mainly because of what you said. It's easy because it's me. It's no brainer, you know. And like I'm sure most people have heard about comedians and people who do comedy, it's therapeutic. So this is me finding somebody who can relate to something I thought was just me. This is me finding somebody who can relate to a situation that I thought just happened to me. This is my therapy. It works in this order. The crowd, I go out there, talk to the crowd, give them my therapy. As I'm doing it, I'm also giving them their therapy because they feel the same thing. He said what I'm going through right now. You know what I mean? He spoke on what happened to me yesterday right now, and we all laughing about it. So it's therapy
yeah.
for everybody in the room.
Yeah.
Well, we got an aspiring comedian, DJ. I've always told her that I wanted to know what tips do you have for her as far as her starting to do some stand-up, because we talked about it a couple of times.
I'm going to talk like you're not on the phone. Have you tried it? You've been on stage once, twice?
I have. I actually have.
You have?
Yes. I can tell you, it's exhilarating, but at the same time, it's a little bit scary.
It's a little bit scary?
It's a little
bit
scary.
The fear goes away. The fear goes away with repetition. Repetition will give you more experience. Repetition will give you more confidence. All of the above. But
it's always
not going to be easy. It ain't going to be nothing easy. Whatever brought you to the stage, whatever made you say, let me try it this one time and see what I'm going to see about it, hold on to that throughout your entire journey. If this is something that you
wow, so basically I'm going to have to be a drunk because it was liquid courage.
If it was liquid courage, don't do that no more.
Yeah. No,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no,
he'll be paying you. He'll be paying you in Chuck E. Cheese coins and everything. And he's like, thank you. I'm going on. No, don't do that no more. As a matter of fact, don't do that no more. But no. I say for me, what brought me to the stage was it always looked fun to me. It always just looked like they are up there having fun, and I've never lost sight of that. In the beginning, that's what all it was. But now that I'm 7 years in now, so it's more so along the lines of business. It's fun, but I need my money. You know what I mean? So
right.
I still hold on to that fun part, but, you know, that's the only thing that keep me from choking people sometimes. You're going to get one of them shows, they say, let me holler at you real quick. You're going to be like, what do you want to talk to me about? I'm going to tell you now, he ain't going to say nothing nice. He's going to tell you something about not having all of your money.
DJ, you got any questions for Ryan?
Well, gosh, my one question was how would he, what recommendations would he have for me getting into the business? But as you quickly snap that in half, I can think of something else.
Miles, some more advice on that is be everywhere. Wherever there's laughter or people that can laugh, the wonderful and talented and entertaining Mr. Michael Collier out of Chicago, Illinois. For a minute, there was nowhere for him to go, so he made his own place off of Venice Beach. People to this day, this was years ago, people to this day still remember.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be a comedy club. It can be a local bar. It can be gathering people at your house. Whatever you can do to be somewhere where they can laugh and you're on stage making them laugh, that's going to be your best benefit. Always work towards that. Write a joke or two at least. A day. It don't have to be funny to everybody. If it tickles you, write it down.
Oh,
like,
hell,
I don't laugh at this one.
Well, I'm going to start it something now.
Yeah, I mean, it's work. It's real work. A lot of people look at what we do as like, yeah, they having fun and getting money. Let me try that, you know, because you see it on TV now more days. Comedy has really been coming to the forefront of entertainment now. So a lot of people are getting on TV, and they're like, yeah, I can do that. I can be him. That's what a lot of people think when they send it to the audience anyway. But it takes a lot of work. That person you laugh at on TV been doing this 10 years. You know what I mean? He ain't just start.
Right.
So it take a while, and it take dedication, hard work.
Go ahead. I was going to ask him, you know, what happens when you get heckled? What happens when the audience isn't laughing with you? What do you do?
What do I do particularly? I try, you know, I always want people to have a good time. It depends on how you're heckling me. Like, if you're doing it in a mean, malicious way, you know, I'm going to be mean and malicious back to you. I really don't give a damn. Can I say that? If you're doing it and I'm drunk or I'm just trying to help the show in my own little way, some people feel like they're helping the show, I'll generally make the joke on me. I won't put all that attention on him. I won't put all that embarrassment on him. You know what I mean? Because I feel like if I do that, yeah, it might make some people laugh, but it might still hurt this one person. I'm not trying to get everybody to like me at the same time, but if I could still harness the whole room, because I'm in control regardless. I got the microphone. So ain't too much you could say to me that's going to bother me. So I'm trying to make the joke on me. I might talk about, it depends on what he says. I don't know. It depends on what he says, but I try not to hurt nobody's feelings, ever.
Well, DJ, I feel I'm going to have to get a rim shot for the show now, since Brian told you to write a joke a day.
You know what? And he didn't say I had to tell it to you every day. He said write to it.
Okay.
So now I have to share it with you.
I'm glad he didn't say that. Praise God.
It don't necessarily have to be a long, drawn-out story-type joke. It can be something funny, just anything funny. You'll be surprised when those funny thoughts or those funny things you wrote down, just the smallest little thing, will come to you in a time of need when you're on the stage.
Well, how long do you suggest her deal would be? Like, how long should she perform? How long should she do it? Like,
how many times she been on stage?
I've been on stage three times at this point, but each time, you know, that's what I was going to say. Each time, nothing more, enough to make them say, you know what, you are really funny, you should come back.
You get 3 minutes, you get three good jokes, and you get out of there. Don't you overstay your welcome. It's gonna
that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Besides, I know I'm wearing heels. I'm wearing heels while I'm doing this. I'm only going to stand up there for so long till when it's not fun anymore because my feet hurt. So you need to stay focused. Let's get in, get out. Let's go. If I can sit down.
Yeah, at the beginning, you get 3 minutes. You build a 5, you build a 7, build a 10. And when you get to 10 minutes, then you get to open up the show for real, like a weekend show. You know what I mean? Then after that, you know, you move on down the runs. You might be the first guy, the first person at first, and then you're the second person. Before long, you'll be shutting down the show. But that is years away. Don't get excited right now today.
Yeah, okay. Well, see, I was already buying my outfit. You said that. I know what I'll wear.
Yeah, you might have to wear some flats.
That's not
my
good at all.
Is some flats.
You want the comedian to be happy, I need to wear my shoes.
Ryan, where have you performed at around the country? Probably everywhere. Huh?
Yeah, a little bit of everywhere. Some places I still haven't been, but it's 2012 coming up. I'm hoping to take care of all of that. And big shout out to everybody who's listening. Happy New Year's. Happy holidays. I hope you all are safe and making better plans for this year because it didn't work out last year, you know. Otherwise, you wouldn't be like 2012, my year. Like, wasn't last year your year? So what happened? Anyway, so I'm in Florida right now. I know we talked yesterday. Wasn't that yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. I'm in Florida right now. I got a couple of shows I'm doing out this way. Louisiana, New York, Cali, Chicago, Houston, Dallas, Cincinnati. I've been a lot of places, man. It's been a real good year last year, but I ain't done all I wanted to.
What part of Florida are you in right now?
I'm in Orlando, Florida right now.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I got a show here on the 18th of this month. I'm actually opening up for Michael Blackston. Yeah, I'm going to be the feature on Michael Blackston's show out here in Florida on the 18th. And then I think that's on a Wednesday. Yeah, and then Thursday I go to Marco Island, Florida. Me and Rodney are going to be doing like six shows out that way for the rest of the weekend. And plus my baby stays out here. I'm out here seeing my baby girl, spending time.
Is that close to you, DJ?
Only if I get in my car and drive 4 hours.
Well, that ain't close to you.
That's what I'm saying, really. What do you consider close?
Around the block.
No, I'm in Tallahassee, so that's a whole different realm of reality.
Oh, yeah. Marco, how far is Marco Island from there? Are you familiar?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Marco Island. It's probably about 2 hours.
Okay, I've never been to Marco Island, so I hope
they're beautiful. It is really, really beautiful.
I heard it's beautiful, but absolutely nothing to do. Bring your PlayStation.
There's nothing. Marco Island is Marco Island. That's all it is. When you get there and you say, "Oh, Marco," that's it. You're done.
All right. See you.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out to call the show, man. I'm glad my wife met you on the at the airport one day when I went up there to pick her up, and she had your card. I guess y'all talked to her.
Yeah.
And she told me about
you. You got some Dr. Dre's, right?
Yeah.
I was sitting in the airport listening to mine, and she was like, "How do you like him?" I was at first, I was like, "Ma'am, you don't just walk up and interrupt my Dre's right now." But she was so nice and pleasant and very warm, and she spoke to me about getting you a pair. I was like, "Now that is love. If he don't like them, I don't know what's wrong with him. He do music too. He gonna love them."
Yeah.
And we talked this way back and forth, and she just wanted us to meet. So here we are.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad she didn't introduce me because, I've seen some of your work before with Bill Bellamy. I watched all them shows, and I remember. And especially when you said it, I said, "Now that's where I know the name at." You know.
Yeah, so, I was only like a year and a half in right there. That was a while ago. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's long. When it came on BT, I remember in that, what you call it, Tommy used to sit on there too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy's one of the judges on there all the time.
I
see, that's when it just started crying and weeping in my hands. Like, look how young and virile I was.
Oh, my God.
I'm sitting pacing back and forth on the stage. Oh, man, please.
I remember seeing that. And, I mean, I've seen it when it was, you know, the live show. We talking about that's years ago.
That was
mid-'90s, wasn't it?
It was like 2000, yeah, because I just started comedy.
Okay. And what actually made you go into it? Just because it looked fun, or, I mean, what just got you to say, "I'm going to do it"?
The fact that it looked fun, and I probably wouldn't have even discovered comedy if it wasn't for my brother, Mr. Rodney Perry. Rodney Perry is a comedian, a well-known comedian as well, co-starred on the Monique Show, also on Who's Got Jokes. Helped me get those positions as well. Rodney's always been something for me to look at as far as that. I never really thought of comedy or anything like that. I was DJing at a comedy club and not thinking about comedy. I was like, "What am I going to do when I get through with this DJing stuff?" I DJed at the comedy club for like 5 years, but I didn't realize how much I was learning just from, you know, looking every night, six nights out the week, you know what I mean? So one day I thought I'd try. Comics had been telling me I should try it and everything, so one day I thought I'd give it a shot, and I loved it. I knew it wasn't no turning back then.
Right.
So it's always looked fun. I've known the background, you know, from being around Rodney. I've known how the business aspect of it can be. You might not get paid from time to time, or, you know, you might get played this way or that way. It's all business. But when I got on the stage that first time, that was to the side. I needed it. I needed to happen.
Well, I want to thank you again for coming on the show and also giving DJ some pointers. And when she actually does it, DJ, you need to befriend him on Facebook.
Of course I will.
His name is spelled R-I-O-N, Ryan Evans.
I got it. Okay. I've already checked him out. I got it.
Okay,
I'm not the slow one.
He'll be your Rodney Perry.
Yay. As long as he's
you
not
might
my
not
Rodney
get
Perry, we're doing good.
I'm the next best thing.
Again, my brother, thank you. And when are you going to be up here in Atlanta performing again?
I perform in Atlanta here and there often. You know, I'm generally out of town a lot of times, so it's hard for me to, you know, schedule for a time here and there. Like, I'm out of town for a month, and I think I'm doing New York in February, but don't quote me on that. But I live there. Atlanta's my home right now, so I just pop in the spots. I'm kind of known at these spots, so I don't really have to post up and call people, please come down, otherwise they won't let me on the stage. So when I do get a chance to go up, you know, I got a lot of family out there, so I try to spend time with them and help take care of them. Next time I go up, you're on my Facebook?
Yeah, I'm on your Facebook. Just let me know something.
You were here,
I'll come down there. Yeah, I'll come down there and meet you personally.
Wonderful. I like that, man.
Most definitely. And also, one more question. Are you familiar with a comedian named Queen Aisha?
Queen Aisha. Man, that sounds familiar. I hope she's not
she
listening
came down
to me,
here,
man. Like, how he act like he don't know me?
That means she sounds like a queen, so you might want to be careful.
Well, she's a personal friend of mine, and she's done the vagina monologues. She came down here a couple of times. Every time she came down here, came to my house, we had, you know, fellowship, whatever.
What did her hair look like last time?
Oh.
Afro, wild, and
blonde.
Like the dreads, but they're not really dreads. They were like in formation like dreads.
Wow,
I don't know
this
what
is really getting
stuff.
Dangerous.
I think I met her last time she was out here. I met her last time she was out in Atlanta, for real. I think I met her because that name sounds familiar. The vagina monologues. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, she did a show with Bruce Brooks down. Oh, I forgot the name of the dance club because it was a dance club. It wasn't a comedy club. And she also performed there.
Oh, no, Bruce has a club. He has a spot.
Yeah, it was, I forget the name of it.
Okay,
it was on the Old National Road, Old National somewhere down there. And we went to go see her. It was the old, man, one of them clubs that had the number. Not 112, but it was one of the old clubs that had a number. Back in the days. You remember they had numbers for the club, dance club, in 97, 98?
I am 31 years old. I'm not going to let you do this to me.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh.
Okay, I'm not going to kill you with it. She was down there on Old National Road. I know the name of the club.
They got a nice little porch on the outside and everything, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah, I've been there before. I just can't remember. I've only been there like once or twice. It was like when I first.
Yeah, I've only been there like once or twice myself. I don't know the name.
Very
fly. She was there, and she was also at Taboo, too.
Yeah. When is she coming back? Because I think I know. Do me a favor. You got my number. Have her call me. Because I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I definitely will, and I'll tell her about you as well, and I'll give her the number. I got to call her anyway and say happy holidays now, since I missed it. I know I'm getting ready to get blessed out when I do call her. So I'm going to be like, hey, get your cuss words out right now. Hurry it up. Before I forget. Remember, I'm years old, so, you know, I need to let her know that. Like you just specified a minute ago. Well, it was good having you It was good having you on the show, Ryan. And next time you perform in Atlanta, give me a holler on Facebook and I'll be there.
No problem. Definitely will let you know, man. And once again, thank you all. Thank you, DJ. Thank you for having me. And anytime you need me, just hit me up. I'm here.
It was such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Y'all take it easy.
Good night.
Will do. Ryan Evans.
Yay.
And I'm glad you got some tips there, DJ.
Absolutely.
You got somebody that can mentor you on this quest for stardom, because I could see DJ in the movie, acting crazy, throwing a wig around. Yeah, I love it.
No, man, I don't want to ever be on the screen so big that somebody say, ooh, look at the size of her nose. I can't have that. I pass out.
You silly. Real silly. Like you kill me. You know, you're funny, and I'm like, you remind me of my friend Mac, who does the same thing, say anything, and then you got to think about what they said and go, man, that nigga making a joke. And you know, like, you know, just off the side of your head, you be like, that nigga making, because he's talking about this Puerto Rican dude, and the Puerto Rican dude did talk a lot. And he said, man, all I do is talk. He just keep on talking. Yak, 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 yak. And I was just like, yeah, he do. You know, did he? All of a sudden, he just went, YAC. Yak. You're advanced conversationalist. And I screamed. I'm like, you are so stupid. You're advanced conversationalist. He had me rolling. Because he walked me into the joke the whole way.
The whole way.
And I'm like, you know, yeah, he do talk a lot. And then he just went, YAC.
Mm-hmm.
Yak. You're advanced. He's stupid. Mm-hmm. Oh, I had to call him up the other day and remind him, remember you called that dude Yak? And he just started laughing. He said, yeah, I remember. Like, well, you stupid. You need your own show. For real.
Oh, my gosh. Just remind me. I'll tell you about the time I went with my girlfriend to get her pedicure. And she took that shoe off. And, you know, we go to the salons where the owners of the salon take care of you. But they're usually Asian. And
right.
When my friend took her shoes off, the lady said, ooh, look your feet. She said, I'm going to need gloves. I was like, dang.
What's it that bad, DJ?
I was like, oh my gosh. And she just said she's going to need gloves. And then she said, ooh, this is going to take a long time. She said, I'm going to need sandpaper and mask. I'm like, damn, I think she's going in.
Like she was on The Martin Show.
It was
when Sinead did whatever her name. What was her foot? Whatever her name was. Did Dan's girlfriend's feet.
Oh, my God.
Myra,
okay.
That was a name.
Okay. It was hilarious. And then she talked to the lady next to her. And I was like, she's talking about you. She was like, no, I'm not talking about her. And the other lady peeping over there, I'm like, she is talking about you. she said, next
horrible.
Time you don't wait so long.
Horrible feet.
You not wait so long next time. You come back often. I was like, dang.
Oh, man.
Like she was a cancer patient. Like she'd come back for treatment.
So, like, when I went, I never went. Because, you know, I'm a man, but I'm supposed to, my feet's supposed to be horrible.
Exactly.
If they came out pretty, it would have been a bad situation.
Oh,
but my wife was going, you just got terrible feet. Yeah, I played basketball and never got them done. Hell. I might have hit them with the little chisel thing every now and then, the little white thing that they sand it down. That's about it.
Oh, yeah, you need gloves. You need gloves for that, too.
Yeah, and some anointing oil.
And definitely. And then you go on everything, on your forehead, on your feet, and on her.
Now you got carried away. took it a little too far.
You can't help it.
That's what black people do, though. Well, DJ, it was good having you on finally again.
Okay, see how you couldn't just let it go? You couldn't just stop it. It was good having me. Finally again.
Wow. I'm sorry, but it's the truth, DJ. I can't bite my tongue.
You actually can.
I'm not trying to draw blood. That's all right. I'm just saying, finally, it was good having you on. Next week we got a show with a spoken word artist. Hooked it up just a minute ago, and she said it's a perfect time for her to do it. I will let CJ know of it, and also I'm trying to get another artist on. They are fickle, and you know every time you talk to an artist, you'd be like, "Well, CJ knows," and I know she's shaking her head over there because I can feel her.
Okay.
Remember Dr. Dre on the song? I know you're shaking your head because I can see you. That's exactly how I'm saying it to CJ, because I know. Man, getting these artists on, they say they do it, then the next minute, oh, I can't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. So,
go through that hill. And also talk to the artists that you know, too, TJ.
Okay, I will.
Cherry Red?
China.
Yeah. China Red, okay.
China Red.
I'm old, too. Well, I'm getting ready to play David Tyree, another comedian who I love, and we'll end it out. Thank you again for being on the show. I want to thank Ryan Evans for calling in.
Hugs to Ryan.
Yeah, that's going to be our big brother.
Yeah, man.
To give you a report on how you do.
That's all I need. I need some guidance.
Yeah, and if you need material, you know I'm here ready to write for you.
You know what? I don't know that I want you to write. You can get kind of blue.
I'm black.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know what you meant.
Uh-huh.
And I ain't gonna get blue. I know how you are. You're good enough to be Bill Cosby of this thing. So you know.
I just need a sweater.
And some Jell-O pudding. This is David Tyree, another funny comedian, and we're going to end it out. See you next week on ATAGP.
Good night.
I live in L.A. Thank you very much. I know y'all don't give a fat rat's ass where I'm from. You're probably thinking, well, they got a lot of earthquakes out there. Yeah, the ground is shaking, but it's 85, motherfucker. I like L.A. L.A.'s a nice place. We got shit out in California. They ain't got nowhere else in America. Number one, we got drive-by shootings. I'm proud of them kids. Except for the fact that they're always hitting the wrong people. I don't think they're bad kids. They're just bad shots. So what we're getting ready to do is open up some drive-by firing ranges for them kids. Gonna give them a place to practice, then let's set them out on each other. Got a lot of homeless people out there, too. Y'all ain't got no homeless here. I ain't seen them. You must sweep them away from the front of the hotel. Lot of homeless. We got to do something about the homeless, y'all, because we're running out of shopping carts. Can't go anywhere without tripping over them big, dirty feet all across the sidewalk. Y'all got quiet like you care. Fuck you. You right, I shouldn't talk about the homeless, but they ain't here. It ain't like you gonna go outside and find one and say, hey man, you should have heard what he said about you and me. I help homeless people. I used to be homeless myself one time, down and out, didn't have shit happening in my life, you know, didn't have no money, I was so broke I didn't even have no damn shoe. I'm feeling sorry for myself till I met a man with no feet. I thought to myself, I bet he got some shoes at home he don't need anymore. follow this motherfucker home and get them shoes. I help homeless people. I want you to know that right now. It's these hungry sons of bitches that can kiss my ass. Piece of shit begging for food. Help, I need something to eat. And I'll knock the shit out of one of them. Anybody's hungry in this country is just stupid. You go in a grocery, they got one fat guy with no gun guarding all that food. All hungry people have to do is run in and eat something. Knock that man with no gun out of your way and head straight for the cookie aisle. Because you can eat up a half a pack of cookies before anybody even know you're in there. I do that shit with money in my pocket. What happened to stealing in this damn country? What they gonna do if they catch you eating in the grocery? Take you to jail? Guess what they got in jail? Food. Your ass may be sore, but your belly be full. Ha ha ha.